Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. We're here in the Radio Alabama studio, Sylacauga, Alabama. On the Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. And I'm Robert Holmes, Sylacauga native and your host for the Journal. Joining me this morning is Erica Denty, Master Sergeant Erica Denty, a local Sylacauga person. And Erica is in the Army National Guard, stationed down at Montgomery at the Joint Force Headquarters. Erica, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
It's exciting to have you here, especially, you know, after we've had Veterans Day celebrations the last few days.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I'm
good.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, too.
Yes, sir.
Erica is the NCO, the Inspector General NCO at the Joint Force Headquarters at Montgomery for the Alabama National Guard. And like I said, she's here as a local Sylacauga citizen with us, she and her family. So tell us a little bit about Erica Denty and your family.
Yes, sir. So I am from the Sylacauga area, Childersburg area, and Talladega area, all three Talladega County native.
Well, you got to pick one here, Childersburg, Sylacauga. No, I'm just kidding.
All three are home.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I've been in the military for 23 years. I'm proud to serve Alabama National Guard in my country. And locally, I have three kids, two bonus kids, and one
of yours. They're all yours, yeah.
Yes, sir. So, and a husband, and they attend B.B. Comer in Sylacauga, and one has graduated, and she has a child of her own now, so we're actually, we're grandparents.
You are absolutely too young to be a grandma.
Yes, sir. So,
but good on you.
Yep.
So
yep,
go Comer. So Comer's really knocking it out of the park in football this year.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. We're proud of them, too, as well. We got a game
good
Friday
deal.
Night.
Good deal.
Yes, sir.
So any school time here in Central Alabama?
Yes, sir. I attended Central Alabama Community College for a few years, and then I'm now at Columbia Southern University.
Great. And what do you study there?
Leadership.
Leadership at Columbia Southern.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes, sir.
I think leadership is much needed in our colleges, universities, our community college these days. It's something that we can't ignore, and we'll get into that later.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk about leadership.
Yes, sir.
So you live here in Sylacauga, grew up in Central Alabama. Mm-hmm. So at some point you got pointed toward the military.
Right.
And serving.
Right, yes, sir.
Okay. Tell us about that.
I did ROTC at Talladega High School for a little while, and then I transferred to Childersburg High School, and they didn't have ROTC. So I felt a bit of a calling when I was in high school. And then after high school, I saw where they were college money and, you know, bonus money to join the military. So that,
okay.
that kind of led me that way. But then after I joined, it was 2000. And then, of course, the next year, the following year, 2011, you know, I mean, September 2001.
2001, yep.
Yeah, 9/11. That inspired me. So,
okay.
Of course, I was already in, and I was a little piece of that puzzle. So at that point, I wanted to make a career.
Okay. So, I, you know, sort of like my story, I did not intend to. I intended to stay maybe 4 years. I told a recruiter if you could get me 4 years. I wanted to serve. I knew I wanted to serve,
yes,
but
sir.
Had no idea that I would eventually want to make it a
right.
over 30-year career. So it sounds like you came to it, and then once you got bit by the bug of serving,
yes,
so tell us about that. You said after 9/11 and 2001, you
yes,
sort of knew that was the place to be.
Absolutely. I wanted to be a little piece of that puzzle. To serve my country.
Great. So, Erica, I was looking at your military bio, and this caught my eye that you've got the Army's Combat Action Badge. So that means you had a combat deployment.
Yes, sir.
Let's tell the folks about that.
Yes, sir. I deployed to Afghanistan 2004-2005, local unit. It was in Vincent, Shelby County. So Vincent mm-hmm. was 440th Chemical Company, and our battalion was 278th Chemical Battalion. They were out of Aniana. So we deployed to Afghanistan, 04-05, and we were based out of Bagram.
That was still a pretty rough time in Afghanistan in 04 and 05.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, it's been rough all along, but particularly then.
Right, yes, sir.
You know, I was there in 2001, and it was rough, and it...
yes, sir.
Yeah, got it.
Yes, sir. So we earned the Combat Action Badge.
Okay, and you were with a special operations outfit?
So we were attached.
To be unnamed, okay.
Yeah, we were attached as Seaburn companies, but we went for a security mission. And I'm sure there's more to the details of what we went to than I was privy to. However, we were in that remote location in Afghanistan.
Okay. Well, I tell you, you know, it's as a combat veteran, it's very important that we point that service out. So,
yes, sir.
For me personally, thanks for what you did, and it was folks like you that that made a lot of things happen for a lot of people. So, in the right way. So,
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. All right.
And a lot of our local, there's a lot of local individuals that deployed with me that still live here in Sylacauga as well from 0405.
Great.
This area.
What would you, as we look at today, I read an interesting fact a few days ago that as young people were polled across the nation about willingness to serve,
yes, sir,
and not just in the military, but just willingness to serve, that those numbers were, I hate to even think about it, but yes, those numbers were going down.
Right.
Tell me what you think about that.
If they could just get the bug like I did. You know, they go and they join the service, they go to basic training, AIT, they do that due diligence, they'll understand, and they'll have more of a reason and a duty. But it made me grow up. It made me become more of an adult. It also taught me to be a leader throughout my career. It taught me to be
interesting. Right. Okay.
So it serves a bigger purpose. It serves your country. It serves a bigger purpose for you. It gives you purpose, direction. It gives you motivation, all of the leadership qualities. But yes, joining the military will lead you in the right direction. Right.
So even if it's not military service, it's just service.
Right.
You know,
It teaches you. It teaches you.
So, like I said, as I read the numbers, I was going, you know, it was military, yes, but it was also just willingness to serve.
Getting over that hump.
Yeah, and that, I don't know, that's something we got to work on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I want you to take a note.
Right.
We're both going to work on that, okay?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we'll start right here in Central Alabama, but we got to work on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you, this past year, were pointed out to be the, you're in the Inspector General's office as the NCO of Inspector General's office. And we were talking before the interview started that actually you're in line as the Assistant Inspector General for the Alabama National Guard. And that's a heavy responsibility.
Yes, sir.
But because you shoulder that so well, you were selected as the Alabama's National Guard IGNCO for a national competition, so that's good on you.
Yes, sir. My leaders, they told me I was ready, and they put a packet together for me. And yes, I was nominated in my office because I have a great team. I have a great team of mentors around me to lead me in the right direction. So, in our office, of course, we have a full bird colonel, and then a lieutenant colonel, and then a major.
Okay.
Two NCOs and a civilian.
All right. So I think, you know, we got a civilian audience here who may not understand full bird colonels and lieutenant colonels and everything, but
yes, sir.
Yeah, I got it. But they'll understand colonel.
Right.
Okay. The full bird. Yeah.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
There's currently six on my team in that office.
Great.
So they nominated me, we put our packet together, and I was selected out of all the states. There were 25 of us approximately.
Right.
Selected to go to the Pentagon and compete for Inspector General NCO of the Year. There's three categories, of course, officer, NCO, and then civilian, because there are civilian inspector generals.
That really, congratulations for that, to stand out in the crowd.
Yes,
so,
sir.
No, that's quite an honor.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad that you're right here in Central Alabama, you know, garnering that, you know, folks need to know.
Right, yes, sir.
That we got bright stars right here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this weekend I was at an event. It was Veterans Day, and I met your command chief,
yes, sir.
Air Force Command Chief Master Sergeant, who's there at the Joint Force Headquarters.
Yes, sir.
And he had a lot of good things to say about you, so I'm going to say that on this interview to, you know, embarrass you in front of all your peers. But he really had some great things to say about you, so
yes, you
should be proud of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, and thank him.
Well, and tell him hello for me. It was a pleasure to meet him.
Yes, sir, I will.
Chief Breeden, right?
Bullard. No,
Bullard.
Chief Bullard.
Bullard.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So, as we talk about leadership in the community, How does what you've learned in the military then translate, or how do you convey that back to the civilian, civilian community, our society in terms of leading?
Yes, sir. So that's, I'm looking at, transitioning myself soon. One day soon. Yeah. We won't say soon, but, in the next 5 years, potentially. So I want to learn everything the Army has to give me to be a better leader. Also, my civilian education is in organizational leadership to be a better leader and hopefully bring that back to this community.
Right.
And to serve Sylacauga. So ultimately, in the Army we learn that purpose, direction, and motivation is a leader.
Absolutely.
Right? And influence, right? You have to make that audience want to follow you as a leader. So each organization.
So hold on to that thought. Yes, we're going to come back to that in the second segment.
Yes,
say
sir.
That again. You've got a leader has to inspire.
Yes, sir. It's influence. You have to inspire your peers, your subordinates. You have to have, team mentality.
Inspire people to follow you. Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yep.
Good.
Collaboration.
Yep.
But you got to be that leader of that team to make them want to follow you.
Right.
Influence.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes, sir. Okay. So hopefully I can bring that back to the community when I do retire. And in between, I volunteer. I do a lot of stuff with Alabama Horse Association, East Alabama Horse Association. So my daughter's involved in horse riding. So I do a lot of volunteer hours within that community.
Right.
So hopefully I can bring nuggets of leadership into that community.
Sure.
And then whatever else I can be involved in here in the community.
So this is a tangent, but you're bringing up horseback riding.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the therapies, the equine therapies for veterans post-traumatic stress syndrome?
No,
the
sir.
Therapy? Yeah, we got to talk about that because I think we're going to begin to see, and I know some people here in Central Alabama are very interested in equine therapy for stress syndromes.
Yes, sir.
Something our veterans can use, especially with what
Absolutely.
We see with some veterans, local veterans outreach programs here.
Yes, sir.
So,
absolutely.
Okay. So I like that. So after this is over, you're going to go into a service role in the community, which I applaud.
Yes, sir.
Communities need great leaders.
Right.
And you can get into maybe write a book on leadership.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Okay, folks, we're visiting with Erica Denty, Master Sergeant Erica Denty from the Army National Guard, and she's positioned at the Joint Force Headquarters for the Alabama National Guard as the Inspector General NCO. We've talked a little bit about Erica's life here in Central Alabama and her role in the National Guard, and we've applauded that. And we're going to come back in the second segment. Stay with us, and we're going to talk. We're going to drill into Erica's views on leadership. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. This is Robert Holmes here in the Radio Alabama studios in Sylacauga, Alabama. On the Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. The guest today, very special guest today with me in Sylacauga, is Erica Denty, Master Sergeant Denty with the Alabama National Guard, Office of the Inspector General at the Joint Force Headquarters.
Yes,
did I get all of that right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
I couldn't put the commas in the right place, but... in the first segment, we talked about, Erica, her life here in Central Alabama, growing up here in Central Alabama, family lives here in Sylacauga, and then we talked about her service and her views of service in the military and particularly the National Guard. And, there's one thing I've got to, we mentioned, if you were in the first segment with us, that I met Command Chief Master Sergeant this past weekend.
Yes,
and he also gave me some good news that I think you're aware of, is that you're number one on the promotion list for Sergeant Major Is that right?
Yes, sir. I'm number one in my MOS. Yes, sir.
All right. Good. Well, we're gonna stay tuned to that. So the next time we come around, we're going to introduce you as Sergeant Major Erica Dente, which I'll tell you, folks, that's quite a coup, and I would very much applaud you for that. So,
yes, sir. Thank
you. All right. In this segment, we're going to talk to Erica about her views, her personal views on leadership. And I know we've already talked a little bit about it in the first segment, but let me just start out to say, you know, there's some leaders that you want to follow and some.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So tell, what is it in your mind and the way you would describe that makes a great leader one that you want to follow?
Self-growth. Yes, sir. I'm huge in John Maxwell. When a leader has to be a transformational, I'm huge also on servant leadership. In order to do that, you have to be transformational and you have to evolve with what's going on in the world, what's going on with society. You have to be flexible. You have to be that leader. And yeah, you still have to have, you know, that purpose, direction, and motivation for yourself.
Right.
And that discipline for yourself as well. But you have to be willing to evolve and you have to, everything's not cookie cutter. Everything's not the same situation.
That is so true. Yeah.
Right.
So let's unpack this notion of transformational leadership.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we throw a lot of terms around about leadership and everything. So just so that we all understand, what is it you are referring to when you say transformational leadership?
So you have to be willing to look at a situation and see the other side. You have to, and to grow to that and understand and to listen. Active listening is very important in leadership.
Yes, okay.
And you have to, and soldiers, not just soldiers, you know, and people. People want to be heard and understood. They don't want you to just hear and say, yeah, and just move forward. You have to understand the situation and be that transformational leader to change as the situation changes and evolve as things change.
Yeah, in fact, just this weekend I was digging into this notion of situational leadership, you know, and you know, you can mention that in some circles, and there folks may say, well, that just means you've got a leader that's willy nilly. Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
No,
it goes back to some of the things you were talking about,
right,
about a leader having, I mean, just dynamic situational awareness, to be able to inspire people to not just follow, but to get to whatever it is at the end, you know.
Together.
So
together,
to get there
as a team, and that collaboration as a team, and it's not just transforming the person to person. It's it's transforming as you go. It's essentially whatever you're leading and your goal and your shared desires are.
Right.
At the end of the day, you're transformed to get to that goal, and in the in between is that transformation.
Right. Okay.
You do what you need to do.
So the caterpillar transforms and becomes the butterfly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got it.
Yes, sir.
I can simplify it in Bob terms.
Right.
You know, so.
I like the Bob terms.
Yeah. I went back to school about 5 years ago and for another degree, only because I had the time and the resource to do it, and in management and leadership, and the counselor said, why are you doing this? I mean, you know, and I said, well, you know, I've sort of been through 30 or 40 years of leadership training, both in the government and business. And I said, I don't know. I know all of the stuff I've been told, but I want to see if academia, you know, what academia says. So
yes, sir.
To me, it has to get simplified, because if we tend to rely on the books and the manuals, we can delude what's really leadership and just make it something people don't understand. So,
and to preface that is my definition of transformation. Leadership.
Good.
Not necessarily a book definition.
Yeah, I have to make it Bob simple, and I know you'll appreciate this, where we always refer to just make things soldier simple, so that it could be explained not to the 4-star but to everybody down the chain.
Absolutely.
So make it simple so that it's understandable. So
it's the KISS mentality, right?
Exactly.
Acronym.
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. You know, in the first segment, I said, hold on to a thought, and it was that the thought that the leader needs to be able to inspire people to follow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I often thought if we're leading and we're the only one out there tugging and chugging and pulling, then we're not leading.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So tell me how you know this being able to be that leader that inspires people to follow.
Mm-hmm. So I was in a situation years ago, and the leader walked in and they said, if you want to be a part of the, you know, knuckle dragon army, you know, it's not your army anymore. It's time for you to, you know, you need to learn to evolve.
Right.
So that impacted my career. It's like, okay, it's not, you know, it's not do as I say as I do. It's how do we get through this together? It's mission command, right? We have so many different individuals in the military with so many different strengths and so many different weaknesses, yep, and that collaboration, and you have to utilize those tools. So it goes back to what I was saying earlier with active listening and learning your team and that collaboration of that team and want to be that servant leader. Hey, what can I do for you to make you better? This is what Absolutely. Self-growth I'm doing. What self-growth can we do for you? How can I lead you on that path? And those tools that were provided, let's apply them. Let's apply those tools that we have to teach you to be a better leader.
Right.
So ultimately, you have to just gain that buy-in of your team and be that leader that they want,
sure,
to follow.
Yep. If nobody's out there with you, you're not leading anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, you're by yourself. So, you know, you just used a term that I'm familiar with, but I think it's important. Mission command.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So let's tell everybody what that means. Mission command.
Yes, sir. So,
I think it's the elements of things that you've already talked about, mm-hmm, which is, in transforming, you got to make sure everybody understands the mission, understands the vision, understands where they're going.
Absolutely.
And they know that they are a very important part of that mission.
Right.
So.
And the piece of the puzzle now is this is the mission. Now you get the mission. You complete the mission.
Right.
And how you do that, that depends on your leadership.
Exactly.
It's not the leadership telling you exactly what to do, how to do
exactly.
it. Exactly. You're in the zone. You're in the moment. And then how you complete that mission is
yep.
mission command.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I used to tell troops, here's your mission. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay out of it mm-hmm. unless I see you about to either, you know, do something stupid right. or go to jail or kill somebody.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, I'm going to stay out of it until I just feel like I've got to get in there because it's your mission.
Right.
And
right.
you've got the tools and the understanding and the knowledge and the team to do it. So.
Right.
Let me just sort of outline it for you, and now you guys go do it.
Yes, sir.
And girls.
So you gave the commander's intent. You gave the mission, the commander's intent.
Commander's intent, yeah.
And the desired end result.
Yeah, so. And again, forgive us for, mm-hmm. but commander's intent is purpose. What's the person at the top in charge, what's
yes,
their intent or purpose for this to be when it's all over?
Right.
So
yes,
commander's
sir.
Intent, yeah.
Yep.
Good deal. So if I were to ask you, what values do you see, individual values, are important for leaders?
For leaders? Well, it goes back to the Army values for me because it's just embedded
okay.
23 years of experience, you know, and that's the seven Army values is loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage. So that's
okay.
our seven Army values that we live by.
All right.
Also apply them as a leader.
Okay.
So know the meaning of what they are and then execute
okay.
what they are.
All right. So I'm going to make it a little tougher.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, okay, pick one.
Pick one.
Which one is most important to you?
Integrity.
Integrity. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the integrity to do what's right when no one's looking.
Yeah, good.
Because you know, you've been taught, you've been developed
right.
at this point, wherever you're at in your career,
right.
you know the basics.
And I can guarantee you that every one of us have been faced with those decisions where, you know, integrity's got to come to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we've dealt with it. And so many times I've heard, you know, it's you know, integrity's that courage to do what's right.
Yes, sir.
Even if nobody's looking,
mm-hmm.
so.
Right.
Okay. So you've, let's unpack one more term, and that is servant leadership.
Right.
How would you describe that?
So for me, that is my number one. That's what I value that. I hope that I am that to my team in my office.
Okay.
I want to give my team whatever I got in my toolbox. And then I want to grow as a team together and develop collaboration, develop teamwork, whatever the soldiers or civilians or whomever I lead in my career, I'll even take this home to my family. I want to be that person that they can count on to
right.
to come through, and I'm that servant leader to them so they can trust in me, But at the end of the day, they know that I'm the leader and we're going to move.
Sure. You know, over the last 15 years or so in particular, when the Department of Defense and the military's services began to embrace servant leadership, mm-hmm. There would be people who would come to me and say, well, that to me is a foreign term. Mm-hmm. In terms of describing military leaders.
Right.
And I said, no, not at all. I said, you know, 50 years ago when you were looking at an older military when, you know, everybody had visions of the tough senior officer, the general or the colonel that just sort of was grump and gruffy and barked out orders and everybody right. jumped and did them or senior NCO. I said, those days have passed. Mm-hmm. I said, if you really look at leaders today, they're about serving everybody around them, even though they may be a star, you know, wearing a star or right. Or the colonel's leaves or the eagles of a bird colonel or the stripes of a sergeant major or chief master sergeant or gunnery sergeant. I said, but at the end of the day, this military has realized that true leaders mm-hmm. really have to serve those around them,
right.
okay?
Right.
And that's not a foreign term. So I like to get on a soapbox when people bring that up and
yes,
say,
sir.
No, it's not a foreign term for
yes,
us.
Sir. It goes back to what I was saying earlier for my capstone for my Sergeant Major's Academy. I
yeah.
wrote a paper on underdeveloped leaders promoting underdeveloped soldiers. Servant leadership comes into play.
Yep.
If you're a developed leader, you take what you've learned and you apply it to those underdeveloped soldiers.
Right.
And you train them to take your place.
Yep.
So you're serving those individuals with growth, and then you're applying the needs that they need
right.
to make the mission happen.
Right. The leaders that I always look to and respect the most were the ones that took time mm-hmm. to give me something
yes, sir.
To make this junkyard dog, Bob, a better person.
Right. Yes, sir.
Not just a better officer, but a better person.
Better person.
You know,
yes,
so. Okay, so we're going to end with this question, service.
Yes, sir.
What would you tell a lot of young Ericas that are out there or Jimmy Bobs that are thinking about serving? What would you tell them?
Buy in. Right. Serve
Good.
Your country. It's
Good.
Worth it.
All right. I like that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate
you.
And I know everybody that watched this appreciates your perspective and also are very proud that you're a member of our community. So
yes,
thank you for being
much.
Here. Thank your family for sharing some time with us this morning that they let you come over here. I know Monday is your what would be your day off.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And so you had family things to do, but you spent an hour here with us. So thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks for watching the Bull Gap Journal, Radio Alabama Studios, Sylacauga, Alabama. On the Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. If you like what you've seen, like what you've heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap.